This is Carl and Linda Bott. We want to extend an invitation to join us for a very special event, a Salute to the Veterans cruise to the British Isles. You're invited to join Linda and I for this very special cruise.
August 15th, 2014, with a special emphasis for veterans, family, and friends who join us.
With a special tour of Normandy beaches and the landing spots for D-Day, the military tattoo in Edinburgh, and a special visit over to Ireland.
Hi, this is Alice at Avanti Travel. My husband Bob and I will be on the cruise too. We're so excited and anxious for you to join us. We'll have special events on the cruise like cocktail parties, group photos, military history presentations, and much, much more. So call Avanti Travel at 244-1400 for more information. All our gals are just waiting to hear from you. This is a very special cruise where we honor our veterans. Everyone is invited. So give us a call right away.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Wade Riggs. I'm here with Bruce Blake, the president of Powerhouse Solar. Bruce, you and your wife Sue established Powerhouse Solar in 2003, and since then you've installed more solar energy systems in the North State than anyone. What do you attribute that success to?
Well, Wade, I think it's because we as a company have made a decision a long time ago to sell the very best products we know on the market. At Powerhouse Solar, we don't do cookie-cutter systems because every house is different. Every home is brand new, clean slate. We have to come in and custom design a system using a SunPower panel, the most efficient panel in the world, and putting it together with the best inverters, the best racking, the best installation makes Powerhouse Solar by far the best solution for you and your family. Everything's designed specifically fits their needs. When they've seen what their system produces, they're going to be content with what we said that we would do, we will do.
Find out what a custom-designed solar energy system can save your family. Call Bruce and his staff at Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Jones's Fort, Reading's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Reading's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Reading area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
The juice. Red wine vinegar and olive oil perfectly blended. It's how a Jersey Mike sub gets its one-of-a-kind sass. It's how bites and chomps get bonused. The juice adds that certain something extra, an exclamation, the kind of exclamation you can eat. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Stop in at Jersey Mike's today and snazz up any cold sub with the juice.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at AmazingFoodsForLife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KC. DNR.
Veterans Resource Center is presenting the June Forum of the Shasta County Veterans Collaborative. Anyone concerned with veterans issues are invited to attend. Come hear about the IBEW Veterans Jobs Group, VA Homeless Services, and the Tehama Vets and Shelter Pets Group. Join us Tuesday the 24th at 11:30 in the Reading Library Community Room. Over 40 veteran service agencies will be attending. This is a great opportunity to gain knowledge of services available to veterans. For more information, call 223-3211.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
And a very pleasant good morning. Welcome, We the People listeners. We have an encore presentation today. We're replaying the April 20th edition of We the People, the episode with our special guest, our expert on all things Siskiyou County, Mark Baird, and the story of the Black Bear Commune. We very much enjoyed bringing it to you the first time. If you missed it the first time, or even if you heard it the first time, you'll enjoy hearing it this morning, I promise. We the People next on Radio 1460 KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
We're going to find out what we're going to do about them.
Yeah. We're going to kick them out.
Welcome to We the People Radio on Easter Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, we were hopping like bunnies this morning.
Yeah. That was one of us. So. So much. So much. We're going to church after this, so, you know, just in case you were worried that we're all going to go straight to hell. No, man, we're going to go to church after this.
Going to go straight to confession.
Exactly. Well, we can't do that. That was yesterday. that ship has sailed, as they say. Let's see. Bill, Aaron, Bob.
Aaron, Bob.
Happy Easter, one and all.
Yes, exactly. So, today, you know, it's kind of funny. We have someone calling us already. It's going to be one of those days.
I want to know where the heck we're at.
Are we in trouble already?
Yeah.
So this is, it's an interesting. Mark's calling it. Okay, good. He's entrusted us to call him. He's like, where are they? Where are they and what are they doing? And why aren't they calling me? Hey, Mark.
Actually, he thought he was supposed to call us.
Oh, he did? Okay, cool.
We're with the program.
I figured he's like, what are those idiots doing?
Yeah, that's it. We're under control.
Yeah,
we
have it all handled. So this is like the bizarre trifecta. So top of the list, Easter, of course, and that's where it should end. But no, I had to explain to someone yesterday that April 20th is like the big pot. I don't know if you can call it a holiday. It's like a big pot celebration, right? At 420 today.
Smoke out.
At 420 on 420, but now in Colorado, they're all kind of burst their balloon because now it's all legal, so it took the fun away. Because it was all this big, you know, illegal, let's all smoke pot on 420 at 420.
They can't arrest us all.
And then tomorrow's Earth Day. Ugh, my favorite day to throw away any recycling I can possibly find.
I thought today was Earth Day.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Oh. It's tomorrow.
It's always on a Monday, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's on the 21st.
I'll go pick up those cans I threw on the side of the road.
Liar.
I believe you're right. It's on the 21st.
It's always on the 21st. Now I remember because the first one I was aware of was back in the 80s when my kids were little. And so their school was doing this big hype about Earth Day. That was like 1984 or something. I mean, it was kind of a long time ago. And, sending home flyers with the kids, and I was teaching in high school at the time, and, you know, Earth Day, and, oh, you know, blah, 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 and worship the earth, and I didn't even know it was all bad and was going to ruin our lives later, and I didn't like it then. So anyway, my kids saved up all the recycling. We just learned about recycling, right? So we save up all the newspapers and stuff, and as dutiful little recyclers, and then on Earth Day, I said, okay, kids, I'm going to show you how this works. And so we loaded it all into our vehicle, and we took it to the dump, and we threw it in the landfill thing there.
Oh, you.
I said, there you go.
So many levels.
I know. I know. They probably got me down for a hate crime right now.
I usually go squirrel hunting on Earth Day.
That doesn't really... You have to waste. So anyway,
it's right.
You know what? Don't let people, you know, tell you what to do. Just, I don't know. Earth Day bugs me on so many fronts. So it's fitting. Although we will, we should be honoring, we will do that all privately and publicly recognize Easter for the super important, the most important religious holiday that it is, Christian religious holiday. And then probably the remainder of the hour, a couple hours, we'll bash the environmentalists. So just in case you thought we forgot what we were supposed to be doing today, we're on it. We just didn't, we didn't exactly have a guest for that. So
I'm going to go up in the woods and cry with the trees.
Like they, like that video. Oh, we should put that on the website. That's a funny video. Hey, Mark, you in there?
You on?
I think that's an Earth First video, isn't it? The one where they all sit there and they cry because the Earth is wounded.
Yeah, that's right after you go out back and ask a rock what to do with your life.
Because yeah. They've been around a lot longer than us.
So, so besides the fact that you and I have had a multitude of conversations about the environmental community and what a boon they have been to your area up there in Siskiyou County, we got chatting about this because we were at a North Coast Water Quality Board meeting, and many of the little friends in the room there with unbelievably just misleading and ridiculous large posters and whatnot were from the Riverkeepers.
Yes, they were. And the Riverkeepers, by the way, is a front organization for the Karuk tribe. The Riverkeepers is under the umbrella of the Water Keepers Alliance. Robert Kennedy is the president of that, and they're based in Manhattan in New York City. Nice office, big building, lots of money. And they solicit donations from essentially, I don't know how else to put this, rich, stupid people. And they use it to, quote, save the environment. Now, the Riverkeeper organization is kind of interesting. All you have to do to be a Riverkeeper is you have to have a boat that says Riverkeeper on it. And you have to be supposedly of good moral character, and with the mission that you're gonna, save the environment. So when I contacted the Water Keepers Alliance and pointed out that the director of the Klamath River Keepers was is Grant Lee Hillman, and he's a two-time felon, and I wondered how that fit in with their morals and ethics statement, and they said, well, we really don't monitor that. So apparently now Grant Hillman also is the head of the Department of Natural Resources for the Karuk tribe. So whenever the Karuk tribe wants to explore a possible lawsuit, they use the idiots at the Riverkeepers to get that started for them.
That is great. And so for the folks who, and this is happening everywhere, I mean, you can change the names, move it around, pick a different locale. It's coming to a town near you. We just thought we'd drill down and show people what goes on in this one area. So I don't know where you want to go with this thing. You want to save the Montague lawsuit for last, or you want to start where they ended, or on their most recent crime?
Well, I don't know. This reads like a bad novel. It reads like an F. Scott Fitzgerald novel. You know, a dark and stormy night. I mean, so actually, this lawsuit was begun by the Riverkeepers and later joined by the Karuk tribe, and their allegation was that the dam at Dwinelle Reservoir, where Lake Shasta, the subdivision, which, by the way, is the largest single property tax revenue generator for the county of Siskiyou. There are about 3,000 lots, I think, in there. So their allegation was that Dwinelle Dam was impeding the historical range of the coho salmon. And, you know, these things are interesting, these administrative-type lawsuits. Essentially, what all you have to do is say, you're not doing enough to protect this or to protect that. And that's enough to get you in court, and away you go. So even though there's no historic evidence that there were ever salmon above Dwinelle Dam or And even though there's plenty of documentary and historical evidence that there were not, and that the Little Shasta River is too warm and too high in naturally volcanic phosphorus and so on for coho salmon, you know, a few fish will make it. And it's not that fish don't live where they could live. It's fish live where maybe they can make it. And if you make it, then you got to save them, right? So, so far, we've blown $1 billion saving the coho salmon, $1 billion in Siskiyou County and Lower Klamath County. And by their own count, they haven't saved a single one.
Hey, and I can still buy them in Costco.
You can, and I really enjoy. I call 10th and M Seafood in Anchorage, Alaska, every once in a while. A little plug there for 10th and M. And they will box up a coho salmon, and they'll ship it to you overnight, and it is really great on the barbecue. It's not quite as oily as Chinook, but it's really good-tasting fish, way different from Costco. I love to eat a coho salmon once in a while.
Exactly. It just blows my mind. I mean, there are no other endangered species at Costco except that one. Just...
Well, interestingly enough, the coho salmon is not an endangered species.
Oh. I mean,
they range from South Korea all the way around to the west coast of California. And the only place they're endangered is the Southern Oregon, Northern California unique population of coho salmon to the Klamath River. It's the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life. So here you have fish who range over three quarters of the Pacific Ocean. And once they run the gauntlet of death from commercial fishermen, unregulated tribal take at the mouth of the Klamath River where they gill net basically everything in the river, And
let's not gloss that over. They gill net everything in the river, and then, you know, people are thinking, yes, but that's regulated. Oh, yeah, it's regulated. They turn the count in on themselves. You know, it's like me giving myself a speeding ticket if I ever go over the speed limit, which I never do.
Yeah, it's the fox watching the chicken house. So here's the interesting environmental concept of that and what led to the Montague suit and some other suits that have devastated the economy of Northern California, by the way, all instituted by the Karuk tribe or variations of the Karuk tribe. So the ranchers, farmers, and water users of the Shasta Valley and the Klamath Basin and so on, they're responsible for the number of fish that manage to make it back to the river. Now, after the fishermen have gotten them, after the Native Americans have taken 60, 70, 80,000 of them, whatever their number is, and nobody knows, then if there are only 10 fish that manage to survive that gauntlet of death, then they turn and point their fingers at the ranchers. It's your fault we don't have enough returning fish. Well, I mean, even the silliest simpleton would have to say, well, gosh, that just doesn't make sense, because who could have control over a fish that either cannot or will not come back to a certain river? And if this were the case, if it were the case that we were responsible for not enough fish based on the returning number of adults, okay, so let's say you have 100 adults that make it back to a river. Each one of them lays about 3,000 eggs. Now, the average escapement for young fish is about 28 fish per adult, give or take. So let's say you have 100 adults, but your escapement is only 2 babies for every adult. Okay, well, now you might be able to say, look, there are conditions there that are not allowing baby fish to make it back to the ocean. But that's not the case. Our escapement rates are the same as every other river on the Pacific coast, about 28 per adult. And it's very, very consistent. Drought years, good years, we have about the same escapement rate. So, but that's not the case, because the environmentalists and the earth worshippers have engineered the situation so that we are responsible when not enough fish manage to survive the gauntlet of death and make it back to the river. And that's where this lawsuit originated.
And that ultimately cost the people of Montague like $1.2 million?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, what happened was Montague Irrigation was defending against the suit, and essentially the Karuk tribe has lots of money. I mean, and whose money is it, by the way? You're wondering, what's your money?
Yeah.
Because they're funded by the federal government. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting concept in welfare, where the tribe wants to call itself a sovereign nation. A nation above the law, a nation above the government of the United States, yet the government of the United States supplies every single nickel those guys spend And oh, and where does that money come from? Out of the pockets of the people who have to defend themselves against their very own money. And I asked Congressman LaMalfa the last time I saw him, I said, at what point is there a period to the end of this sentence? Are we going to pay for the collective remorse of deeds over 100 years past for 10 centuries, 10,000 years? I mean, when will the check be paid, and when will everyone have to live with the conditions that are present? When will the tribes become citizens of this country instead of parasites that live off the system and use that money to sue everyone around them? And he didn't have an answer. He said, well, that's Bureau of Indian Affairs. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's more like the Bureau of Unending Reparations, I think, isn't it? Do we have one of those?
It's kind of like CalFresh or one of the other deals. It's nothing more than the welfare society, and their job is to get as much money for the welfare recipients as possible. So
yeah,
back
and
to
it's
the
not
lawsuit.
It's not temporary help. I mean, and for those people who need it in the short term to get through whatever it is, even you know, that's great. But we all know that there's a boatload of abuse. And it's funny, though, the people who really need it don't seem to know the system. It's very interesting because I know people who really, I mean, they really do need it. It's not a fake thing. And right. And yet they don't know how to use the system. I ran into a lady in the grocery store Friday, I guess it was. And she just, you know, walking down the aisle, she's, I don't know, 50s, late 50s probably. And she looked upset. And I said, how you doing? She goes, it's not a very good day. And she was kind of quivering. And I said, what's going on? And, you know, talk for a minute. And she said, well, I have to go put these things back. And I said, oh, really? She said, well, they don't take credit cards here. And I said, oh, you know, I'm thinking, like, forgot your wallet, stuff like that. And then you knew that wasn't it. So people are that close to the edge, and they need help, and yet you're constantly hearing about these guys that are going to Hawaii and spending the money in a casino with their EBT card.
Well, this is more of a handout than a hand, I've got to say.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, there's two ways to do it.
Yeah, and oddly enough, the average guy really isn't getting his share of the loot, so to speak. I mean, you know, the bulk of the crew of people are trying to work for a living and try to make it and raise kids. In fact, you know, I have friends that have acquaintances, crew acquaintances, and he said most of them really don't even know what's going on about dam removal or this lawsuit or that lawsuit. And they just kind of say, oh, well, you know, that's the tribal council and that's Hillman and Tucker. And, you know, we don't know. We don't have anything to say about it, and we certainly don't get paid from it. So this is really quite a racket. But what they did was they alleged that the coho salmon were not making it past Winnell Dam, and also they accused the city of Montague of putting too much poop in the water because of their inadequacies of the sewage treatment plant. And I don't know the ins and outs of that. I don't know whether the allegation is true or not, but I suspect if, like most of the towns here, the infrastructure is 150 years old. I'm sure there's a little bit going on there. However, people are not dropping dead from this, and neither are the animals. And by the way, fish can't live in distilled water. They also need something to eat. So the long and short of it was when the Karuk's organization, the River Keepers, run by Hillman and Tucker, who's also on the board, and P.D. Brucker, one of the originators of the Black Bear Commune, found some purchase in the lawsuit, then the Karuks joined in, and they essentially outspent them. So Montague Irrigation did a sue and settle, where they have to give up a lot of water, some of which goes to the city of Montague, and they also have to pay the Karuks legal fees, something over $500,000. It's now projected that the city of Montague will run out of drinking water by July, and by the way, there are Karuk people who live in the city of Montague.
Yeah, and there, I mean, in Montague, for people who live out, I mean, I know, you know, Suzanne's there in South Korea. She's like, where the heck's Montague, and how many people live there?
Right.
They're like 1,500 people. So they're in far northern California, probably, what are they, hour from the Oregon border? Hour and
a little less than an hour, yeah.
Yeah, so here, you know, 1,500 people in the town part, and then you have a lot of ranching and farming that goes on out away from that. They're in kind of a triple bind at this point because, okay, now the lawsuit says that they have to leave all this water in the river for fish, which means they can't drink it, which is why the city's going to run out of water. However, if they don't sell water to the farmers to irrigate, they won't have enough money to pay their $70,000 bill in December on their lawsuit payment.
Well, that's exactly, you're exactly right. And also, I don't know if you've been through the dairy shelf. I mean, the Shasta and Butte Valleys and Scott Valleys produce some of the best alfalfa, really high-protein feed, which is used in dairy cattle all over the state of California and on the coast. I know there are loads of alfalfa that go over 299 and go over Highway 96 every single day to dairy farms on the coast. Have you looked at the price of milk lately? I mean, milk is going up, all dairy products are going up, beef is going up, and you have to ask yourself, why is this? And it's at least in part due to this environmental idiocy that we're suffering through, and a lot of that idiocy, at least in this area, with quite a bit of spillover into the rest of California, stems from a place called the Black Bear Ranch, or the Black Bear Commune.
Nice segue. Hey, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the Black Bear Ranch, as they call it now, which was formerly the Black Bear Commune. They could be really interested to hear the roots of some of this environmental wackyism that's going on up there. And I can't imagine this is the only time that they've had this kind of lineage. So anyway, happy Easter to everybody out there. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online. The chat room is very active this morning. Lots of fun in there, as always. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Time is really wasted.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm feeling
way too many fish in the sea.
I'm feeling old.
You're supposed to feel funky.
Oh, that's not funky.
You're supposed to feel funky.
Come on, Bob. Get us some funky next time.
Get with it. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I got Parliament Funkadelic coming up in the next set.
I don't even know what that
there
means.
You go.
You want funk?
Uh-oh.
Yow.
Mark, can you get down here and help me out with this?
I don't care which Mark.
Mark Kent, Mark Baird, Mark somebody or other. Get down here. We need a new sheriff in town. So what the heck's going on? Speaking of the sheriff, there's a big meow to you, Sheriff Pasenko. He's been doing a great job. He's been helping me out with a little project.
Do you want to explain the meow reference?
It's a big meow to you. What? Doesn't everybody say that to their sheriff? No, I guess not.
No.
Haven't you ever seen Super Troopers?
Oh, I have, but the average listener might
not.
Well,
hey, if the average listener doesn't know a Super Troopers joke, you know, I can't help them.
License and registration, please.
Meow. I guess a little insanity right before the Black Bear Commune is probably fitting because we'll all be angry after this, right?
Yeah, well, it kind of makes me mad. I don't know.
Yeah, so there we go. That's all the frivolity we've got. Go for it.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Black Bear Commune really was kind of the root of a lot of the things that go on here. And the Black Bear Mine was established in 1860. It's a hard rock quartz gold mine. And it was it's the largest mine in Siskiyou County. In its day, it put out, you know, over $3 million worth of gold. And that was back when gold was, you know, what, a couple bucks an ounce. So there, a lot of gold came out of that mine. And, Henry Rollins was one of the owners of that. He was involved in it initially. And then shares were sold in the mine, and as the gold kind of petered out and the water inundated the mine, and they didn't have pumps in those days that could handle that kind of water, the mining activity, and there's still some that goes on in the area, by the way, some hard rock mines still in the Black Bear area, but it became a ranch, and after that it fell into disuse, and then in 1968 the hippies showed up.
Then it was, and if you'd like to look at the website, wethepeopleradio.us, you can see what the hippies looked like. And it's probably not a good thing to show on Easter.
And then they were farming a different kind of gold.
Yeah, they were, among other things. The commune was established by Richard and Elsa Marley in 1968. It was kind of interesting. There were a couple of cults in Haight-Ashbury at the time, and they were members of one of them. And they would go out on the street and preach anarchy and try to get people to have free love and free this and free that. And they wanted free food, and they wanted a free place to live and free clothing and free everything else, and didn't want to pay any taxes. In fact, they didn't really want to participate in society. They just wanted to enjoy the benefits that society would provide them off the work of others, essentially. And when the Haight-Ashbury started to wind down, they became very disillusioned with it because they claimed it was filled with hypocrites. In other words, there were other people that wanted a lot of free stuff, and they wanted some free stuff from them. And of course, when everybody wants free stuff, then who's left to pay for all of it?
It sounds like Occupy.
It you know, really, it was a lot like Occupy.
It just lasted
I remember
longer.
Haight-Ashbury. We used to go to Haight-Ashbury sometimes just to look at kooks and imagine what it would be like to be one of them. And
yeah, I probably saw you down there, Mark.
You probably did. And I think a lot of people passed through that and thought, gee, wouldn't this be great if I could have all free stuff too? But then they went back to their lives and got jobs and so on and so forth. But Richard and Elsa, they took a trip up to Siskiyou County, and they stopped in a real estate office in Mount Shasta, of all places, and they found a ranch that was $22,000 for 80 acres. And they, of course, went and looked at it, and down the Salmon River, it's absolutely beautiful country. I mean, there's nothing not to like about that. It's pristine, beautiful, virgin forest and beautiful river, and so they fell in love with the place, and who wouldn't? Well, of course, the problem with that was they wanted free stuff and they didn't have any money. So they had some followers at the time, and what they did was they took a trip down to Hollywood, and they decided that they would get the money from famous people, because after all, people like James Coburn and Peter Tork and Linda Ronstadt at the time, they were pretending to be hippies, but they really weren't. They were really Hollywood stars and celebrities who made tremendous amounts of money. So these guys extorted the money out of rock bands and out of Hollywood stars like James Coburn. And what they did was they started screaming at them, you pretend to be hippies and you're making all the money, and here we are, the real hippies who want real free stuff, so you better give us some of that money so we can go and have free stuff. And they did. So they raised this money, this $22,000, and they came back to close the purchase on the ranch. And when they got back, there were 13, 14, 15 people already living in it, having heard about this utopian paradise, and they called it, their motto was, free land for a free people. Well, they were really outraged because they did all the extortion and the blackmail, and someone else was living in the house. But the people living in the house pointed out that their motto was free land for a free people, and you can't very well kick us out when you left Haight-Ashbury because it was filled with hypocrites now, can you? And so the Black Bear Commune was born.
The double bind.
Dang, I hate it when that happens.
They outlogicked them.
I think you're just kind of backed into a corner with that one, aren't you?
Gosh, you know, what are the odds? They go to Hollywood to get money so that it's just like, God, it goes around and around and around. It just keeps happening.
Did they run it like a regular commune? Did they, you know,
what is a regular commune?
Well,
I
you
believe
know,
those
a,
terms are mutually
a vegetable garden, and you know, they all combed each other's hair, and you know,
under their
well,
arms.
That's under kind of interesting too, because they really knew nothing about wilderness living, and that's precisely where they were, in the wilderness. I mean,
Too bad it didn't turn out like Roanoke.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to walk down to the 7-Eleven at 6 o'clock because you're out of milk or coffee, right? So, you know, the locals predicted they would never survive the first winter. In fact, some of the locals were shocked because they went down in there to see who the new neighbors were, and here are people running around with what a couple of the guys, quote, said, they're running around with no pants on. So the local people thought they were crazy and that they'd never survive the winter, and they almost didn't. I mean, and according to their own website, you know, and these articles, by the way, were in part written by Allegra Brucker, who is the daughter of Petey Brucker. She was born on the commune. He was one of the original trustees of the commune and originators. He is now president of the Salmon River Restoration Council, they call it. Everyone here in this area calls it the Salmon River Pot Growers Association. Petey's kind of an interesting character. He's real low-key, not flash. He drives an old car, doesn't show the money. But he's also on the board of the River Keepers, and he was on the board of the Klamath Forest Alliance until he and Felice Pace had a falling out. But Petey's daughter, Electra, is also a two-time felon. Drug charges and weapons charges. Now, her boyfriend, Michael Monkey O'Hare, he calls himself, also a two-time felon for drugs and weapons charges. Mike is in the process of buying up most of Cecilville and has put a lot of money in restoring the Cecilville restaurant and store. Oh, and by the way, Michael doesn't have a job or any visible means of support. Oh. So either environmentalism pays really, really well, or there might just be something else going on down there. But the federal agencies love these guys. You know, they're giving them the grants, and Petey, I don't know if he still does, but he used to have keys to the U.S. Forest Service office, and you could see him on weekends knocking around in there using the computers and the copy machines and all this stuff. And regular people are just sitting here in this county, at least, and they're shaking their head. Are these village idiots at the government agencies truly that blind, or is there another agenda here, and these people happen to be convenient to fulfilling the agenda?
Wow. Yeah, somebody in the chat room writes, we will live off the land of milk and honey. I was just getting ready to type, nope, figured it was probably more sustainable to live off the rest of us.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't for the dope runs they made to San Francisco in the wintertime, and I mean people had to slog through the snow to get out to where they could get in their cars and haul dope to San Francisco, and if it wasn't for, you know, things like that and the cons they were running, they probably would not have survived the first winter. Apparently it was pretty tough in there. And they had to learn some hard lessons. And this, by the way, was I found from their own information. These are things that their own members wrote and that I simply copied down. For example, they learned about sanitation in an interesting way. Of course, they were running around, quote, with no pants on all the time. And people used to hike themselves up and sit on the kitchen counter right next to where someone was eating or making their tuna sandwich.
Ooh, yummy.
Well, once everyone got hepatitis and dysentery from having bare butts too close to the food, then they realized that sanitation might be an important contribution to the commune, and they had to stop doing that.
Huh. I can hear my sister-in-law, the germ freak, screaming, oral fecal.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They had another rule for a while that no one was allowed to go to bed with the same person twice in one week or something. I don't remember the exact details. And once everyone came down with venereal diseases, that rule was eventually rescinded. And, of course, it caused a lot of problems with people beating each other up over who thought who belonged to who and who should have belonged to who and who was snubbed because someone didn't belong to the person they thought they belonged to. And
so is that where, so who's your daddy? Is that where that came from?
So utopia, yeah, doesn't work?
Well, we have rules here, even in utopia, apparently. So they had an old milk cow at one point, and they were starving. It was wintertime. And they had a huge argument and, you know, almost a revolution over, should we kill that cow and eat it, or do we truly respect all life? Well, I believe eventually they killed the cow and ate it, because when you get down to the point that you're really hungry and truly starving, apparently reverence for all life and your scruples and morals, I kind of take a backseat to that.
For now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're only high and mighty when you can afford it.
Yeah. Now, here's a real interesting tie.
Donner party of one.
Today, of course, they would resort to cannibalism.
Of course.
Two of the visitors to the commune were Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. Now, they were Weather Underground soldiers at the time. Of course, we all know now they're friends of the President of the United States. Good, fine, upstanding citizens who are helping to make the United States what it is today. And you can draw your own conclusion from that.
Yeah.
But Bill and Bernadine were frequent visitors to the commune. Now, Bill never wanted to live on the commune, and neither did Bernadine, because they knew the FBI was looking for him. I don't know, something to do with bombing police stations and murdering people, things like that.
All those trumped-up charges.
Those trumped-up charges. So, and later, Bill made the comment, in those days, we felt like we really didn't do enough. So apparently bombing police stations wasn't enough for him. But they stay with Petey Brucker at his house, Petey, one of the originators of the commune. And Bill was down there last year, and he stayed a couple of months with Petey down on the salmon. So what we're pretty convinced of is the forces that are populating the Black Bear and have now spread to all the agencies and all the environmental groups, because obviously not everybody stayed there. Some of them moved on and got education somehow and got jobs with the agencies. And we're pretty sure when the river keepers want to call the White House, someone will answer the phone.
Unbelievable. It was crazy because the other night I flipped on the TV and it was Fox Business Network and Stossel was on, John Stossel. And the head of the River Keepers guy was on there. It was right on the bottom of the screen. Oh, it was because Bill's watching.
That's right.
He goes, hey, get in here. So the River Keeper guy was on there. You know, I got to tell you, their eyes are way too close together. There's just something going on there. It's not, I don't know.
Well, I forget who he was debating, but everything the guy said was a lie.
Yeah, the River Keeper guy wasn't even, he's not even a good liar.
No.
And he's like he's the top of their little pyramid scheme. We've got to take another really quick break here before the top of the hour, or it'll be the top of the hour. We're going to come right back with Mark Baird, and there's so much more. It just goes on and on and on. You are listening to We the People Radio here on Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to everybody. KCNR 1460 AM. Love this song.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
To be alive, know the joy within you.
Dancing around the campfire with no pants.
I was going back to the oral fecal.
Yeah,
sorry.
with your hair.
God, my sister-in-law used to have such a thing about that when
with
her kids
hair
were little.
And your food.
It was super funny. It's not pretty.
Yeah,
you dig down into the roots of it. You know, I wonder how many of these environmental outfits have this type of background.
Well, it's amazing that they're
offspring. Is Mark on silence? Mark was on silence.
Their offspring is now back and picking up where mom and dad left off.
Well, they've ramped it up. They figured out how to literally open up the government checkbook, our wallets, and finance all this nuttiness. I mean,
they're particularly good at getting government grants. Mm-hmm. I know the River Keepers live on government grants, and Klamath Forest Alliance lives on government grants, and Salmon River Restoration Council lives on government grants. And so literally, we're funding our own destruction, and I find that just wrong.
It's not easy getting a government grant if anybody out there's ever tried it, unless it sounds like you know somebody who
and the government loves
help push
you.
That along. Yeah.
Keys to the Forest Service building. Hey, there's somebody in the chat room here says, I have a gold claim outside of Cecilville, and the last time I was in the bar, I thought I was on the set from Deliverance. So apparently it's not going to become a tourist destination anytime soon.
You sure?
Well, yeah, you'd have to have more than four cars a day for that to happen, but you never know what will come.
Unbelievable. So we kind of glossed over. We'll have to connect more dots in the next hour, but we glossed over one really important name, and I'm using the word important in the icky sort of way, Felice Pace.
Yeah, Felice was an interesting character. He was a frequent visitor to the commune. He never lived there that we can determine. I mean, these things are all, you know, the things I'm telling you are all things that we found on the internet or heard from locals. It's anecdotal. Of course, you would have had to have been there to know the exact details. But, you know, the frequent visitors to the Black Bear were anarchist gun runners, Hells Angels. There was a cult of people who later moved on and went to India. Oh, and by the way, when they got to India, they abandoned several of their children there. And so, yeah, it was kind of interesting. In fact, there was apparently some political fallout on the commune between this cult, this particular cult, and the main residents, and the cult was asked to leave in the end. But Felice was a frequent visitor to the commune, and Felice, by the way, is not, he's not trained as a biologist. He has a master's in finance. So he is an expert at getting money and doing things with money. But he had a grazing seminar. He got a grant from the government to do grazing management seminars. And also his intent was to put people, useful idiots, up at all the trailheads with simple ballots where they would vote. Do you favor cattle grazing in this beautiful place, or would you rather see cattle poop and all the footprints gone and this place just absolutely pristine so that we can ask a rock what to do in private? And so we went to the first meeting that he had and asked him, what are your qualifications to teach grazing management? And he looked at me and he said, well, I'll bet you really would effing like to know what my qualifications are, and I'm not telling you. So another person was there and asked him, look, I'm not with this Protect Our Water group. I'm not with these people, but I would like to know what your qualifications are to teach grazing management. And he slammed his computer down and said, well, F all of you, this meeting's over, and he stomped out.
Wow.
That meeting did not end well for anyone. No one learned about grazing management at that meeting.
Wow.
He subsisted on government grants for years, and he's also been the initiator of something like 15 lawsuits against farming, mining, agriculture, and logging in Siskiyou County.
Oh, upstanding citizen.
Well, the first time I saw him, I'd heard his name a bunch of times, but the first time I saw him was in Fort Jones at the community center there at a meeting of how the government was going to rip you guys to shreds, and there was some guy in the back, and he's like, who let the dirty homeless crackhead into the community meeting? I mean, he was creepy. He was scary. And I seriously did. I thought, okay, that's nice that the town crackhead's politically active, but like, why is he?
Hose him off first.
He was lurking. I mean, he was back there like by, you know, you always have those big racks that have all the chairs on them and stuff. He was lurking back in the chair racks. It's like, does anybody feel like they should watch that guy? What is he doing in here? And later, people are like, wow, it's nice to see Felice Pace showed up. And I was like, where is he? And they pointed back there. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Hmm. But every time he is at a meeting with an agency, boy, there's a lot of sucking up going on. He knows them, and they know him.
Oh, yeah. they're interesting because, really, first of all, they show up to all the meetings and we don't. And quite frankly, that's our downfall. We need to show up to every single one of those meetings, and it's tough because our people actually have to pay their own way and pay for their life and pay for their family and pay for their homes and their food and work, and they're responsible to their job and their community. Well, these guys aren't. They owe no allegiance to anyone. They have the grant money. They're literally on salary to go to these meetings and destroy the livelihood of the people who pay their pay, essentially. So, yeah, Felice, he writes, you know, dozens of letters a week to every agency there is. So the farmers and ranchers of Scott Valley are killing the environment. They're killing it. Oh, the humanity, you know. And
the humanity. They do
the same thing. For example, at the water meeting that Aaron was speaking about, Erica Terrence was there. She's the former director of the River Keepers. Her father is Malcolm Terrence, who was one of the originators of the Black Bear. Erica was literally born on the commune. And she was at the meeting, and she was and she has this photo. It's a 2009 photo of a dry spot in the Scott River.
Oh, Mark, now, we'll have to do this as a cliffhanger. Because we only have 20 seconds left before the news overtakes us, and we all know that there's probably some pressing news out there.
I do want to hear the rest of this story.
Perfect music to go out. We're going to come back, talk more about the Black Bear Commune and how the River Keepers are going to ruin your life.
I'm going to go take my pants off.
I was going to say Happy Easter. It's kind of wrecked on that note. We'll be right back with Mark Baird in five minutes.
We just cleared the studio here at KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Guided missile cruiser and a guided missile destroyer into the Persian Gulf as the civil war in Iraq heats up. Leading Republicans made speeches in Iowa Saturday, the place where the presidential campaign begins. This is Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
If you want a Republican to be the next president of the United States, we are going to have to be a bigger, better, bolder party.
His comments courtesy of the Des Moines Register. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal was there too, as was former Senator Rick Santorum. A presidential order has ended a brief strike that had Philadelphia area commuter rail workers off the job. They're back on this morning. There will be arbitration. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
An Associated Press review finds many new oil and gas wells near fragile areas are not getting any federal inspection from an agency that's having a tough time keeping pace with America's drilling boom. Government data obtained by the AP point to the Bureau of Land Management as being so overwhelmed by a boom in fracking that it's been unable to keep up with inspections of some of the highest priority wells. The review finds 4 in 10 new wells near national forests and fragile watersheds, or otherwise identified as higher pollution risks, go uninspected every year. It's crunch time for the Supreme Court. The justices will issue opinions in 17 cases over the next 2 weeks. Amongst the big ones, the religious rights of corporations, the speech rights of abortion protesters, and the privacy rights of people under arrest. This is also the time of the year when a justice could announce a retirement, but 81-year-old Ruth Bader Ginsburg has signaled she will not. This is SRN News. Experts will soon examine a possibly significant piece of maritime history recovered from Puget Sound north of Seattle.
They'll try to determine whether the 900-pound anchor is from one of the earliest ships to explore Northwest waters. It was found by a diver who made arrangements to bring it to the surface. The Seattle Times and the Peninsula Daily News report the anchor may have been lost more than 220 years ago by the HMS Chatham, a Royal Navy survey vessel.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason. The anchor next goes to Texas A&M for analysis. Dozens of New Yorkers found $50 bills Saturday that were hidden by a California real estate investor who announces his cash drops on Twitter. The Twitter account Hidden Cash said money would be left in Central Park and Brooklyn's Prospect Park, and indeed it was. Another money drop is expected to take place today in Chicago. This is SRN News.
Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And this is an encore presentation of We the People from April 20th of this year, so if you hear phone numbers, please do not call.
Hello, you are rejoining We the People Radio. Bill has his pants on, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. You'll have to listen to the first hour.
Way too drafty in here.
Unbelievable.
Hey. I didn't think he was going to get him back on in time.
Bill used to be afraid to talk on the radio. He's like, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to talk on the radio. And then Elizabeth moved away, and it's like, all right, you're in here now. Get in here.
I didn't want to talk on the radio for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, he was completely screwed up about that whole idea. Okay. So, we are chatting with Mark Baird. We have Mark on for all different reasons. Mark, you've been on our show, like, bunches of times, and every single time, it's really actually a totally different topic. You're a multi-topic man.
I'm sure people are probably getting pretty tired of that.
No, people like it. It's fun. And you like, tell a very coherent story, which is very, very helpful, and you don't say, or, you know, do anything goofy, and... Plus, we all, you know, we hang out with all the same, you know, agencies and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we see a lot of the same things. And it's good for people to know what's going on, because if they live in a part of the country or a part of the state of California, for instance, maybe farther south from us, and they think that this stuff isn't coming to them, it's definitely coming to you, whether you'll deal with the environmental regulation or you'll deal with the cost of goods and services going through the roof. Because as you persecute ranchers and farmers, guess what? You know?
Yeah, that's, well, I'll tell you what, that's the truth of it. Because, you know, all you really have to do is to understand this completely is look at your dinner plate every night. Because it came from somewhere, someone grew it, and it took water to do that. And, you know, I have acquaintances in the Maldive Islands who are total environmentalists, and they're mad because, you know, environmental of water in the United States is causing sea level to rise, and their houses are going to be underwater. But here in the United States, the environmental water concept, you know, a human being should never be allowed to touch water. It should stay in the river and the river be wild and flow to the ocean so that Mother Earth and the species can all make it. But they, on the other side of the world, they want us to use the water because their houses will be underwater if we don't use it. So there's a little rift in the environmental community.
There's also some really hardcore schizophrenia because the let the river be wild, I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's complete crap because they're holding the folks up your way responsible for the temperature of the river. The amount of dirt particles in the river, the fact that it comes from volcanic soil and the river's very warm, that's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all these things, forget letting it repair itself and forget wilderness. They don't want that.
They really don't. I had a guy, I'll get back to the Erica Terrence thing because it's kind of a good story.
But, yeah, sorry.
We had a young man after a water meeting in, Mount Shasta. He was a nice young kid. He was a College of the Siskiyou student, an intelligent young man, real nice. I liked him. And he came up to me and he said, after the meeting, he said, well, you must be a Republican, right? I said, well, why do you think that? And he said, well, because you're against dam removal and you're against the saving of the species on Earth and so on. I said, gosh, I'm not against saving species on Earth. That's silly. No one wants to live in a world where there are no creatures and no animals. And he says, well, let me ask you this. don't you agree that all species have the inherent right to exist? And I said, absolutely not. And he looked surprised. He kind of took a step back. Well, why not? And I said, well, you don't either. Oh, yes, I do. I do. I said, no, you really don't. I said, because if Tyrannosaurus Rex had the inherent right to exist, you'd have a hard time going to work every morning. I said, what you want is you want the species you want to exist. For example, you don't want the anopheline mosquito to exist. You don't want E. coli and Salmonella and Ebola Zaire to exist. You only want the things that suit you to exist, and you want them to exist in the way in which you want it to happen.
And see, that's the rub right there. You know, you run into this in the big city. They just don't have the same issues that we have up here, and so everything should. There's plenty of room for everything outside of L.A. city limits. You know, I mean, they just, and that's where all the votes are. That's what just annoys the heck out of me is they have their opinions and they're totally without merit.
Well, they are, and in addition to that, there's a lack of critical thinking skills because, as Erica in the meeting, she has this 5-year-old picture of a place in the Scott River that went dry. And by the way, this is, and we tried to explain this to the people on the board. This system is snow-fed. No snow, no river. That's the way that kind of works. When the snow's gone and there's no water trickling down the side of the mountain to gather from all the creeks and streams in the bottom, then there is no river, and the river dries up, and it's a fairly common occurrence. I mean, it doesn't happen every single year, but it probably happens more often than not. Well, the river keepers happened to search for a good spot where the river was dry, and then they set a 6-man raft in the dry riverbed, and they put some people in it pretending to paddle somewhere, but, oh, where can we go? The water's gone. And they've been using that picture in every environmental publication and every interview since.
Isn't that great?
And the picture's like 4 feet tall. I mean, it's on a giant poster board.
Yeah. So she stands up and shows this picture to the audience, and then she places it in front of the table where the two young scientists for the North Coast Board were sitting, and then she gets back and takes a picture of them sitting behind her picture as though they approve and agree with this. And I'm sure that picture was in the Eureka Times Standard and the Environmental News and the Earth Worshippers Gazette the very next morning.
I'll let you know because I get the Riverkeepers newsletters.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. Now, Erica, by the way, born on the commune once again, her degree is not in environmentalism or of any kind or biology or hydrology or fish science. Her degree is in environmental journalism. I didn't even know there was a degree like that.
It's in what?
Environmental journalism.
So you write about...
That's kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah, you write about bushes?
Well, I don't know, but journalism...
Maybe you're in the bushes while you're writing about something else.
Yeah, well, you know, there could be that. And so I guess do you learn that in certain kinds of journalism there is no truth, there's only the truth that you put in it? And I suppose that's true of all journalists to a degree, but when I took journalism in school, admittedly, that was probably 100 years ago, truth was a big deal. The reporter was not supposed to be part of the story. The story was supposed to be factual. In other words, who, what, where, when, why, less is more.
Well, that's not journalism anymore. I mean, nobody does that.
Nobody does that.
And facts and research.
That's a pain.
But they're experts in publicity, and they're experts in disinformation. Conrad, Conrad Fisher is director of the Riverkeepers now. And by the way, Grant Lee Filman is the president. S. Craig Tucker, he's an interesting guy, too, because he has a degree in microbiology from a pretty famous Ivy League university, but he never studied in his field. He never worked in his field. From school, he went directly to Green Corp, and he was trained as a Green Corp community agitator. Hmm. And he also is part of the Riverkeepers, but he likes to call himself Dr. Tucker, and the implication is that he has a PhD in fishery science or hydrology or river ecology or something like that, but he doesn't. It's a medical field, microbiology, and he's never studied in his field. So Dr. S. Craig Tucker is constantly agitating. Oh, and by the way, he's in the employ of the Karuk tribe and the Yurok tribe as a community agitator. He's the secretary. The treasurer of the River Keepers is now Peter Brucker, one of the originators of the Black Bear Commune. And then Diane Rose Cosgrove is another one, and she is a community activist of, and she's part of EPIC over on the coast, and she's also part of the Ruckus Society in Oakland. And by the way, the goal of the Ruckus Society is literally to destroy society through agitation and other means of protest, some of them violent, if that's what it takes. And the Earth Firsters were also part of the commune, too. Those were the guys that were blowing up U.S. Forest Service offices and planting, you know, pipe bombs and logging equipment and putting big nails in trees. Not only did the nail kill the tree, but if a logger hit the chain, hit his chainsaw on that nail, the chain would come off and probably kill the logger. So,
I remember,
you know,
that. I was over there in Eureka, living in Eureka around that time, and there were quite a few accidents with that. Or it would get to the mill if it got past, the actual cutting. It would get to the mill and mess up the equipment or hurt somebody on the line there. Wasn't mechanized back then. I mean, that was back in the 80s.
Yeah, back in the day, I had an Earth First bumper sticker.
Log the other planets later?
Yeah, Earth First, log the rest of the planets later.
So... So those are some of the players, and they were all at the water meeting. And now, mind you, these guys don't have any water rights. They don't own property. They don't live, work, vote, pay taxes within 100 miles of the river that I'm near. And yet, their claim is that the farming and ranching practices, of which they know nothing, are killing the Klamath River. Oh, my God, you know. And the agency people, they sit there with this enraptured look on their face and suck it up like it was Kool-Aid.
Well, and then they go out in the hallway. I was sitting in the back because I had to catch a couple phone calls and at that meeting. And, I was just trying to do you guys a solid. They had another big poster in the back of all the dry river. They had a big aerial photography thing done, and you could see all the green alfalfa fields and whatnot, and then the dry riverbed down the middle, and it was a gigantic poster. I flipped it down and put my notepad on top of it, and... We left it down the whole time.
You are such a problem.
I'm such a hater. But they were out in the hallway. They're out in the hallway, like, you know, they're in there just all drifty and dreamy and nice, and they just want to let everybody know. They just want to help the environment. They're out in the hallway just, like, hardcore talking to each other. It just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one gal was in there, and, you know, we just need more fish. We need more fish. If the ranchers and farmers of Scott Valley would all disappear, then we'd have more fish, and the world would just be a better place. And they look at the board, and if you could just save the fish, they can't wait. They can't wait for the legal process. You have to intervene and save the fish. And, you know, but there's no recognition that this is cyclical and that we were having the best salmon run probably ever, or second best ever, on the Scott River right now.
No, because you know what they say about people who bring things like that up. I just found out last night. I was sitting next to Debbie Bocciacalupi, and she said she was at the wolf hearing down there, not the one in Ventura, but one previous, and she went up to one of the fish and game people that's been promoting this, a woman who shall remain nameless, Karen. And the fish and game gal says, I'd really like to meet with you. Your facts are all wrong. And Debbie goes, yeah, I'd like to meet with you, too. She goes, I'm going to bring my friend Aaron. And she said it was like kryptonite. She got all tense and angry looking, and she said, she's an obstructor. I won't meet with you if she's there. And I thought, what happened to that open dialogue?
Well, you know you're doing something right if they cancel their meeting if you're going to come.
Yeah, but it's just funny,
and
though.
You're a hero.
You know? So much. Thanks, Bill. It's just funny. You know, they sit in these meetings, and we just want to get all the facts out, and we want everybody to know. And it's like, I'm not going to meet with anybody who's actually going to put up any opposition. We're only going to hang with the folks with the big poster.
No, we don't want to meet with anybody that actually has the facts.
Well, I don't know. I am an obstructor.
They're a nuisance.
I was a preventer of progress. I think I'm going to make myself. I think I'm going to change my name.
P-O-P.
I'm going to join the commune and change my name.
Yeah.
Welcome me, the preventer of progress, with my pants on. On that happy note, we need to take a quick break. It'll be too fast for you to go anywhere, Mr. Commune Boy over here.
It's getting drafty in here.
Yeah. There you are.
This metal chair is really
nobody
causing
move.
A problem.
Good Lord. Mark, you've got 2 minutes to pull us back together. When you come back, it's all you. We'll just have Bob kill our mics. We're losing our minds in here.
I'm fine. Please, I don't have 2 hours worth of stuff today.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Well, this will be a fun song for you, folks. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I found out where I came.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Stop! What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Man with a gun? I thought he was just happy to see you.
Bob's going to have to push the button. It's getting closer.
I know.
Closer
Easter
and closer.
I should not.
He's gone
off.
From... I'm afraid to talk on the radio to this, I'm not even going to say slippery slope. That is not, yeah, we have created a monster. It's not good. Hey, Mark, God. So, all right, Mark.
I'm here.
He probably had to go wash his phone off.
you know, it's funny though, whenever you deal with those guys, you really do. You leave the room, you know, you need to go get the Germex.
Yeah, it is kind of true, huh?
Yeah, you definitely put a lot of thought into shaking hands.
It was kind of fun, though. There was a scientist lady at that water meeting, by the way, like on a serious note. There was an environmental scientist that said that on her card. Now, of course, I didn't see her credentials. However, she was quiet. She was fairly thoughtful. And she stayed for that second half, you know?
Uh-huh.
There were only four of us.
Yeah.
And... So, actually, I had the opportunity to tell her that that picture was 5 years old, and I gave her the rundown on that picture, and she looked at me, and you could tell, she's never been up here before. She looked at me, she goes, are you kidding me? I said, no, and this is what your guys fall for every time, you know, they're totally in league with them, which is why, because she said, I don't understand why people are so angry. Yeah. I can explain that to you, and
yeah, it's true. It really is, and not only that five-year-old picture, but all the other stuff that they trot out. The big 2001 fish kill, that's another one. You know, the fish kill in the Klamath River where, I don't know what they say, it's something like 20,000 fish, or it was 2,000 fish or something, died a horrible death, and, you know, it just makes you shiver at the prospect of that. But quite frankly, large fish kills, number one, are natural events, and it happens to whales and dolphins, and, you know, you read about it periodically. But number two, there was no causality ever determined. They blame it on conditions in the Klamath River, but what were those conditions, and were those conditions natural? And there's also some anecdotal evidence from a fellow who's now fairly elderly and lives in Sacramento, that and he was also a member of the Karuk tribe, that the conditions leading to the fish kill were the illegal dumping from a methamphetamine lab of toxic chemicals into the river, and the fish kill happened right downstream. But Fish and Game didn't even test the water until 12 days later or something. So, yeah, and there was also another witness who has consistently, for fear of her life, refused to testify and reportedly left the area, that she was standing on a bridge overlooking the river and saw the dumping go on. Now, these things can't be proven, but neither can the story that the riverkeepers tell of the horrible fish kill, and it's all because of the man-caused, you know, ruining of the Klamath River, mainly the dams and the farmers and the ranchers and all the people who grow your food were just conspiring to kill these fish. And the way they tell the story, it's pretty compelling. Gosh, if I didn't know anything about it, I'd be horrified myself.
And you can't. I mean, honestly, I'm sure there's somebody out there going, they're making this up.
Yeah. Honestly,
you can't make this up. It would be too confusing. You couldn't keep your... Yeah. If you were lying about this, you couldn't keep the story straight.
I'm still stuck on a fish dying a horrible death. If a fish can die a horrible death, I'm in big, big trouble.
You're thinking about all those cats, aren't you?
No, I'm thinking of all the fish I caught. They all died a horrible death, but I think they need to take a different approach.
Exactly. Hey, Anna, we've trapped Comrade Ann on the phone here for quite a while because I forgot about her.
Ha, 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 ha.
Sorry about that. I am the great instructor. Mark, just so you know who you're on the airwaves with, Ann wore a full-length mink coat to the last wolf meeting.
Was it faux fur?
No, it was real.
No one threw blood on it, huh?
They were so irritated. What's up, Ann?
Well, I have a question for Mark. Actually, two questions, if that's okay. My first one is, I wanted to know if he has been paying attention to what's going on between the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA. With the Army Corps of Engineers, the way I understand it, they want to turn over responsibility for all these pretend waterways and puddles to the EPA for regulation. And I wonder how that might affect any farmer or rancher, whether or not they have a river running through their property or just experience a rainstorm from time to time, because sounds like they're going to, what they are going to do is determine whether or not something, for example, could be potential habitat for the vernal pool fairy shrimp. And I bet they live up there in Siskiyou County, too, if you can find them. And the other question I have, I mean, those people really scare me. We've been affected on just a quarter acre of land in the city of Redding because there might be 0.03% fairy shrimp living in a dry ditch on the back of our property. Now, my second question is, when I am able to attend water meetings and other meetings that I think are important for the people to show up, I'm really, really concerned that we aren't getting much participation from Eastern Shasta County, and some people from Modoc County and Lassen County are not showing up. And how can we convince them that they're next?
Well, I'll answer the first question first.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and go listen because I'm locked in the office. Okay? So I'm going to go listen to what you have to say. And
by choice, or should we call someone?
No, it's by choice.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
The first question has to do with the public trust and EPA and Army Corps of Engineers. And the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA have given themselves authority, because it's certainly not constitutional. It's not in the 10th Amendment. It's nowhere in the Constitution that they have jurisdiction over waters that lie within a state. However, the common logic is that they have jurisdiction over navigable waterways of the United States. And the Army Corps of Engineers in the past were responsible for large public works on the Mississippi River, and, you know, they participate in dam certification. They have a lot to do with seeing that infrastructure was built correctly. Well, their role has shifted somewhat, and now they're gaining entrance into the environmental world and their association with EPA. And so what the EPA is proposing is that they have jurisdiction over not navigable waters of the United States, but all waters of the United States. Now, the term all is pretty encompassing. That includes the pond and the dry ditch, and that includes if it rains in your backyard and you have a low spot that fills up with water. It includes any wetlands, whether they make it off your property or not. And this change in federal regulatory process is so encompassing and so dangerous that, quite frankly, everyone in the United States should be up in arms. And I really can't figure out why Congress, who has the power of the purse, by the way, and the power of the purse was designed to prevent this type of activity.
It only works if the Senate will pass the appropriations that they put forward. That's the
right.
You got to get rid of Harry Reid.
Yeah, well, there's that too, but all they have to do is fail to put EPA in the budget, and Harry Reid can't put it in for them because all appropriations have to come from Congress. But anyway, so if they're successful in gaining control of all waters of the United States, look out, because every step you take, every breath you take, everything you do to do with water, you now are subject to EPA regulatory process. This stems from a doctrine called the public trust, which is an old English common law, by the way, not statutory law, where it was designed so that villagers who live near large estates would have the ability to cross the estate owner's land in order to get to the village without walking 20 miles around, or float down the creek or river, even though it passed through a large nobleman's estate, in order to get to town or sell goods or market products or something. And that's, I can understand that. That seems reasonable to me and fair. But now the public trust doctrine has been stretched beyond the breaking point to include things that are not even in the river. For example, if in this valley, if you are a groundwater user, you pump water, you can be held responsible for the fact that your water pumping activity contributed to the drying out of the river, and that violates the public trust, and therefore the government regulates your well. And that's coming, by the way, because all water that lies subsurface are linked to the water table in the aquifer. And so if it can be demonstrated in court that levels of the aquifer are affected by groundwater pumping, and therefore levels in any river, then there's a case to put a meter on your well and for you to get a permit, and you will be told how much water you may or may not use. Well, subsurface water in the state of California is a property right. If you own the property, you own the water under the land, so that's a taking to me. But to the environmentalists, like Conrad made the riverkeeper kid made reference to that in that water meeting. He said, well, what you're saying is unconstitutional, that people own the water or people own the right to use the water because of beneficial use in the public trust. And I said, you show me beneficial use in the public trust in the United States Constitution.
Yeah.
Well, it's in water code, he says. It's in the water code. So
obviously he's super well-versed on his Constitution.
Yeah, just look it up.
Yeah, I mean, so that's that EPA thing. That is one of the most dangerous concepts that has ever come across the American frontier. And if everyone on this planet isn't up in arms about that, then you might as well sign your liberty over to the EPA, because it won't be very long before you're going to wear a breath regulator and you'll only be allowed to take 3 breaths an hour.
And this is the same EPA that just got shut down on the particulate matter science they couldn't come up with that they've been touting to
everybody. They had to kind of, by the way, we really, you know, kind of didn't have what we said we had when we ruined all your trucking and everything else. I mean, they don't have it. They don't have any science.
But yet CARB is still a regulation,
yes,
and we're subject to CARB. So even when they lie, and they lied about the spotted owl, and everyone knows it because now they admit that it wasn't logging that's hurting the spotted owl, it was some other owl. So even though they're starting to shoot some owls so that other owls will make it, there's still no logging allowed because of the owl. So these lies are propagated into regulatory processes, and even though the lies are shown for lies, the regulatory process continues unabated. That's the problem, really, we face.
Yeah, it's like a giant web, and once you're caught in it, the more you struggle, the more you get wrapped up in it. We need to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back with more from Mark. I don't know if we have more on Black Bear Commune. I'm sure there's got to be some other good stuff on there. We don't want to leave anything out. So the next time we have a water meeting, everybody's got to show up so they can find out who the river keepers are.
Yeah, they need to wear name tags.
There you go.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair. Shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxing, waxing. Give me down to there. Shoulder length longer.
Oh my gosh. That has to be the Black Bear Commune theme song. I like it. It's a little home for bees.
Oily, greasy, fleecy, shiny,
steaming,
beaming, waxing, twisted, beaded, braided, powdered, and powdered, and Betty, mangled, tangled, strangled, and spaghetti.
Oh, say.
The good old days.
Oh, yeah. Brings back memories.
If we're going to talk about how they destroy the world, at least we can make fun of them. That's our solace. Tell the truth and make fun of them. Oh, if we can do it at the same time, it works for me. Okay, so Black Bear Commune still exists, right? But it's called Black Bear Ranch now?
No, it's, well, most of them call it the ranch or the Black Bear Ranch. That's a little more socially acceptable. But yeah, there are still people living there. After Richard Farley passed away and Elsa had broken up, I don't know if they were ever married, but, and Peter Coyote, the actor, he's still a big part of the commune. That's his roots, the hippie movement and the Black Bear Ranch. But, he never lived there though, because he admitted, publicly that he really couldn't deal with the no cleanliness aspect of it. So he wanted to be a hippie in name only, but he really didn't like having a sandwich made on the counter with everybody's bare butt on it.
Oh, what a prude.
Yeah.
It is selective ethics, I guess. You know, you're either in or you're out. But Peter Coyote is still a big part of the Black Bear Ranch. And what happened when Richard Marley passed away, the ranch was placed in trust by some of the people who were financially very astute, Peter Brucker among them. And there are beneficiaries to the trust. Peter is the only, I believe he's the only living original resident, so he's the prime beneficiary. But there are people that, they call them residents, and then there are people who are classified as visitors, people who are classified as trustees and beneficiaries, and these are different classes of people. So when you go to the Black Bear Ranch and you want to set up shop on free land for free people, you have to do pay your dues, I guess. And then after a certain number of months, if you paid your dues and you're socially acceptable to the rest of the residents, then they will, and there's a dwelling available, then they will, allow you in as a resident. Now you have to contribute, I believe it was 6 hours worth of work a week. I don't remember what the website said, and at least $3 a day to pay the property taxes and so on, because even free land for free people has property taxes.
That's not free.
Darn it.
Yeah,
not what I was looking for.
Well, what's the saying we like to use? Freedom isn't really free, but so the commune exists, and they have big summer solstice parties and winter solstice parties, and everybody sits around a circle, and they have the rock in the middle, and they ask the rock what to do and sing kumbaya, and, you know. Now, supposedly, even though in the early days, weapons, gun runners and dopers and drug traffickers and, you know, any kind of crook you wanted was welcome there because they were free people, nowadays, their stated bylaws are that there's only allowed to be one weapon on the commune, and that's the property of the residents, and it has to be locked in a safe, because even people who respect all life don't respect a rattlesnake that's about to bite their children.
Yeah.
So there's little situational ethic. I mean, and really, doesn't the rattlesnake have a right to kill something to eat? If all species have the right to exist, but there's that conflict. And so there's only one weapon, and if you have your own weapon, and Lord forbid that, people who respect all life would pack a weapon, but they have a bylaw for that. You have to give your weapon up to the residents, and they lock it in the safe until you leave, and then you can pack wherever you want as long as you're not on the ranch. So, yeah, the Black Bear is alive and well, and it's still producing the same type of spawn that it always has, I presume.
How many people live there, do you think?
The number of residents vary, but I think they're, somewhere around 20 or 25 permanents, and then there are probably 10, 15, 20 people who are passing through at any given time. But no one knows that for sure, because access is really quite well controlled, unless you don't have any pants on, apparently.
And do they actually have housing on the ranch for that many people, or do they, like, sleep in tents, or what do they do?
They do. There were some original buildings that were in pretty poor repair, and then over the years they've been added to and kept up, and, the roofs repaired and things like that. So, yeah, they don't willy-nilly just build housing for everybody. In other words, in order to become a resident, a dwelling has to become available ostensibly by someone leaving. So you can live there, but the housing isn't unlimited.
Well, okay, now, if you were going to give people directions on how to get there, how would you do it?
Well, you go down the Salmon River, and
no,
it's
I
right
mean,
by,
like, start on I-5.
Oh, well, start on I-5, come through to Scott Valley, go through Aetna, go over Aetna Summit, and head down the Salmon River, and when you get past Cecilville, And there is no sign. I mean, once you get past Cecilville, there's a Black Bear Creek, and there's a very nondescript dirt road, and 9 miles up the dirt road is the Black Bear Mine and the Black Bear Ranch. And apparently, from what we've been able to determine, they have a very sophisticated network of watchers with smartphones and binoculars, and so when law enforcement goes up the road, everybody knows it. One of the original residents, his name is River. He lives right in a really nice house with a nice little spot. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful little place right on the Salmon River, just across and about a quarter mile down from the entrance to the ranch. And I don't think River's ever had a job, though, so I don't, you know. There might be some.
Gee, where'd River get his money?
Yeah, well, that's the question I'm sure the IRS should be looking at, but they don't. And I don't understand that either. You know, there is a tremendous amount of criminal activity that is apparently overlooked by the government, and they don't seem to be in any big hurry to get to the bottom of it.
Wow. Figures. And you know, if the crooks get their way and get their casino in Yreka,
yeah, we can finance then it's the next lawsuit.
They're not even going to need Hollywood.
Well, that's right. And, you know, that's interesting as well, because the very thing, I mean, the Yreka sewage disposal facility is overloaded and it's antiquated, and by all reports, it doesn't work that well, or it's not perfect anyway. But like any small town in the country, they don't have money, and their system is already at capacity. Well, it's odd that the Karooks and the River Keeper sued Montague Irrigation in the city of Montague about putting poop in the river, but they're just fine with building a big casino and putting poop in the river you know, downstream from Montague. So those ethics are certainly situational, and the Water Board is not looking at that at all. That seems to be okay with them, because I guess that kind of poop will not harm the river as much as it will from Montague.
But exactly. Those 1,500 people in Montague are going to destroy the world, right?
Well, that's right. And although they've been doing the same thing the same way for 150 years since before California was a state, literally, now all of a sudden it's an issue because the Karooks say it is. And by the way, the Shastas and the Karooks have been had a running dialogue, because the Karooks reportedly stole the Shasta treaty to gain federal recognition. And when you read Riddick McGee's diaries, it's true. The treaty that the Karooks are using right now was signed by a Shasta chief, and they have no right to that treaty. So even their very existence is a fraud. Therefore, their standing in any lawsuit is also a fraud, because if in fact they gain their treaty recognition by fraud, that makes them a fraud and everything they've ever done a fraud. But no one seems to look at that. Now, BIA is aware of this. Congress is aware of it. In fact, because of the efforts largely of Roy Hall and his family, everyone's aware of it. But no one seems to care, provided their agenda is being met.
Yeah,
and that's what really scares me.
Yeah, but if the original lie is found out and all the stuff is in place already, remember, we can't throw all that out now. That all has to stand.
Because the web is already built.
That's right.
Well,
it's
yeah, because Betty Hall told me one time, she said they have 22 feet of shelf space at the Bureau of Indian Affairs office back there, filled with documentation. 22 feet of shelf space.
Yeah,
on the Shasta Nation. They know everything about it, and yet BIA refuses to do anything about it. I mean, the overseer of that.
Yeah, even though the Karuk tribe claims ancestral heritage in Yreka, California, there is none. I have all of the military dispatches from Fort Jones, and the word Karuk is never mentioned in a sentence except maybe once or twice with small scuffles up on the Rogue River. But they have no historical, moral, statutory, or otherwise. They have no presence in the Scott or Shasta Valleys. In fact, that's why they call it the Shasta Valley, Shasta River, Mount Shasta. There is nothing named for the Karuk tribe in this area, nothing. They, by all reports of their lineage, were a loose collection of families in the mid-Klamath River down near Orleans and Happy Camp that were moderately successful or unsuccessful hunter-gatherers back in the day. In good years, they did fine, and in bad years, they died because of malnutrition and lack of food. So, you know, to say that they have statutory authority over most of Siskiyou County and the environmental decisions made by the state of California is positively ridiculous. Now, these guys sued and stopped logging over the spotted owl. That was a Karuk lawsuit that started that. they sued and stopped mining through a sue and settle, the same as the spotted owl thing. They sue the agency. The agency fails to defend itself because they know in the end they will have more money, more regulatory oversight, more people, more jobs, and a bigger agency if they simply don't fight the lawsuit. So the Karuk sued over dredge mining, put a lot of their own people out of business because a lot of Karuk people were dredge miners. They sued over logging, put a lot of their own people out of business, put all the mills in Happy Camp out of business. So now the kingdom that the Karuk tribe has built is filled with drunks and crackheads and children with no hope and no future who cannot find jobs in the home where they grew up. And now the next thing is going to be this casino. And where it's okay to put poop in the river as long as it's your poop, I guess, or poop that you want in there. And funded with casino money, there'll be no stopping these guys. And the state of California wants it because they get 20% off the top, see?
Right. And there'll be, Jimmy has added to the chat room. He's been very prolific this morning. Oh, the Sovereign Minds folks just got here. We left a big giant trail of litter right inside the front door in memory of Earth Day. We littered the heck out of the studio. We'll clean it up. Frank came in and cleaned it up. We're like, what are you doing? You're ruining everything. Put the litter back on the ground. Oh, my gosh. All right, we've got to take a really fast break that we should have taken 5 minutes ago. Push the button, Bob. He told me to tell you when. Hit it.
Give us the call letters.
Call letters. KCNR, 1460 AM.
He's an old hippie and don't know what to do. Should he hang on to the old? Trying to change nobody, he's just trying real hard to adjust.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCN.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
A hot desert breeze commenced to blow. And the fragrance of the incense in 6 weeks without a bath finally drifted down and reached the cowboy's nose. Well, man, that really did it. He couldn't take no more. He tied his old bandana around his face.
Said you greasy, stinking hippie, you put a skunk to shame. Boy, you're a disgrace to the human race. Now the hippie, he just sat there and gave the cowboy a smile. Said, man, you don't smell so sweet yourself. Well, I'm not too sure what that green stuff is on your boots and on your jeans, but whew, it's enough to make a buzzard bounce.
Somehow, this is Easter Sunday morning, and We the People Radio has managed to make it politically incorrect and irreverent.
Yeah.
But you all have the option of going to church. It's only 10 o'clock. Okay, so who was that, Bob, before we leave that?
That was Chris Ledoux.
Well, why didn't I know that?
The cowboy and the hippie.
Oh, my gosh. Chris Ledoux. There you go. All right, Mark. We've got, like, I don't know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Okay.
What,
well, I want to answer the second question, if I could.
Yeah, do it.
She was asking why there's no participation from Shasta and from MODOC and Lassen and so on, a lot of these things, and don't they know they're next?
And Eastern Shasta County, too.
Yeah, and of course they do know they're next. They have to. The sage grouse in MODOC County is already restricting grazing. There are 2 million acres about to be sequestered in 16 counties over a frog that the Environmental Liberation or Center for Biological Diversity admits the death of these frogs has nothing to do with man-caused events. It's because of a worldwide fungus. But then their explanation is, well, we just know people have something to do with it. So, you know, of course they know, but part of the problem is these meetings are held in places where it is extremely difficult for people to go. You know, you have to stop working. You can't pick up the kids from school if you're driving 10 hours to Santa Rosa to some water meeting or a committee hearing in Sacramento, but that no one but the river keepers knows about in advance unless you read a lot of obscure capital papers. And Aaron, you know all about that. You know, sometimes to get this information, you have to be a pretty good detective just to find out these things are going on. And of course, the government does not want that participation because they want to do what they want without any public objection. And they want to be able to honestly say, well, nobody said no. They know what they're doing is wrong. And to me, Cindy and I go to hundreds and hundreds of these meetings all over the place, and you get tired. And that's why we really want the state of Jefferson, because it's the only way we can see to stop 90% of this stuff with one rock, so to speak. If we have a state where we protect the person's right to exist and his freedom and his property and his property rights, then we can stop a lot of this stuff all at once, and we won't have to go to near as many of these seemingly endless series of meetings.
Well, and I like the way they like to have their open meetings, and as soon as they start getting kickback, all of a sudden they don't want to have their meetings, or they'll have their meetings so far away from the problem that nobody will show up.
Well, the meeting about your area was down in Redding, which was a 2-hour drive minimum.
Well, and the board that regulates our area is in Santa Rosa. That's 10 hours by car. Well, I think there's a short paragraph in the Declaration of Independence about that, where the king has meetings so far away from the seat of public process that the public grows weary trying to attend these meetings. I mean, we had a pretty big fight about this in 1775, and the government of California is a willing participant in this, and that's why we need to get away from them.
Well, they also do them during the day when, you know, the good people are at work, the guys that are living off the government as the spawn of the Black Bear commune folk have nothing but time on their hands, and they're living off the rest of us. It's an interesting little disaster we've gotten to ourselves here.
You've definitely brought some interesting
now everybody
information
knows
to the forefront here today, Mark. Thank you very much.
Everybody knows the players now.
Yeah, you can't tell the players without a program.
Exactly.
Well, I think we need to demand name tags next time we have one of these public meetings.
So somebody said, hey, this Mark Baird guy is truly a patriot. It's like, happy Easter Sunday and amen to that, huh?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm just an idiot that happened to start paying attention, but thank you anyway.
Well, we love it. We're glad you're our idiot. Thanks, bud. Have a great day. Happy,
all right, you too. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter from KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Brand news.
And this obviously is not Easter. This has been a replay of our Easter morning show featuring Mark Baird and the story of the Black Bear Commune and all things related here on this edition of We the People. We invite you to stay tuned for Sovereign Minds. That'll be coming your way after the news at the top of the hour. Thanks for listening to AM 1460. KCNR.
This is Jessica Delaney with Project Homeless Connect. This June, at the Reading Civic Auditorium, over 50 service providers will come together to connect citizens of our community with opportunities to improve the health and circumstances of abject poverty. This is a privately funded endeavor, and we desperately need your help to make it a success. Attendees are able to accomplish something in one day that may otherwise take them months to do. Your contribution to this event has an impact that lasts all year. Please call Northern Valley Catholic Social Service at 241-0552.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Casey Kasem has died. The smooth-voiced radio broadcaster who began hosting American Top 40 on July 4, 1970 in Los Angeles was 82 years old. Former disc jockey Charles Van Dyke says the long-distance dedications heard on Kasem's shows connected with listeners, especially those in the military.
As they would listen around the world on Armed Forces Radio, they were a long way from home, and he was kind of the link that made them feel okay. And often he got letters from people in the military and was always eager to take care of those requests.
Kasem died early this morning. His family says he suffered from advanced Parkinson's and a form of dementia. The Senate Judiciary Committee will soon vote on a constitutional amendment that would allow Congress to regulate campaign financing.
The push for a constitutional amendment follows recent rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court that have allowed unlimited campaign